Good morning. What a great joy it is to look out and to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day to celebrate gifts and blessings from Almighty God. Hear these words that come from the book of Ephesians, the second chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which we are loved, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together through Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. May God's blessings be upon us as we come together this day, celebrating gifts and blessings.
Please stand for the call to worship. Give thanks to our God, for God is good. Sing with the earth from east and west, north and south. Tell of Christ's deeds of amazing grace. Please remain standing and join in our first hymn, hymn number 108, God has spoken by the prophets.
Amen.
You may be seated.
My name is Simon Peter. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. In just 3 short weeks, we will be celebrating the end of Lent with Easter. But that victory is not yet in sight. For Jesus walks toward the deathly darkness of Good Friday, alone, so very alone. We, the disciples, did not understand what was going on, nor did we know what was going to happen in the coming weeks. So Jesus began to teach us, show us, explain to us, and prepare us for the coming crisis. Jesus knew what was unfolding, so he started to say goodbye. And he said goodbye by taking a basin and a towel and washing all of our feet, even Judas and my feet.
I am Thomas. I remember he said, I give you an example that you also should do as I did to you. He said goodbye to us by saying, little children, I am with you a little while longer. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. Finally, he said, peace I leave with you, not that the world gives, that I give to you. In these darkening days of Lent, let us hear these words of Christ. Let God's love and care shine brightly against the black Good Friday horizon that looms up in the background.
Please join in the opening prayer found in your bulletin. Good and gracious one, we cry out and you hear our voice. You lift us up with your love and offer us the light of your grace. Let the richness of your mercy flow through our lives, that we may worship you in spirit and truth. May we go forth as children of light and love, in the name of Christ, in whom we find hope. Amen. This morning's scripture reading is found on page 137 of your pew Bible, Numbers 21:4-9. From Mount Har, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live. So Moses made a serpent out of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The responsorial reading is number 830 and on page 830 and 831 of your pew hymnal, Psalm number 107. O give thanks to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever.
Amen. Let us gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell. Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to man, to humankind. The Lord turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground. The Lord turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Good morning. It's time for our moments of informality. Would everybody please sign the red registry pads? They're in the center of the pew. Take that, sign it, pass it to the person next to you, and then return it back to the center at the end. If there is somebody here that's a visitor, please be sure to welcome them. Or if there's somebody here that's normally here and you don't see them, please give them a call this week and let them know that they were missed. There are also prayer requests in the attendance folders as you sign them. If you have a prayer request, please fill it out on the white card. And at the center, please include it in the plastic holders. One of the ushers will bring it up during the time of prayer. Okay, we have quite a few other announcements today. First of all, the first one is that in 2 weeks we will have our annual Easter egg hunt. This will be on Palm Sunday. Now, this is more than just an Easter egg hunt. There's definitely lots of candy and treats for the children, but it's also a chance for the children to hear the amazing story of Holy Week and Easter from their perspective or from a child's perspective. So this is open to anybody in the community. Make sure that you bring any children that you know of to the Palm Sunday Easter egg hunt. They will not only be overwhelmed by the amount of treats and the candy and the sugar, but also the amazing story of Holy Week and Easter. Today at the Moose, and the time is from 1 to 4 today, there'll be a spaghetti dinner. Part of the proceeds will help defray the cost for Hunter to go to a Yes, I Can awards ceremony in Denver, Colorado. So this afternoon, if you want to come for lunch, that would help out a good cause. There's still time to sign up for the Race for Grace, which is 2 weeks from yesterday. Our church has got a connection through the Ickes and the Funk families with the Race for Grace. So there's still time to get involved in that and help out a good cause. When the children, after the children's message, come around and collect some of your change for the month of March, anything collected during that time will go to the Race for Grace. Also, I have my name tag on. It got hidden a little bit there. Please continue to wear your name tags through Easter. It'll help people know who you are. Also, another thing. I don't know if you've noticed when you came in, but outside the main doors, there are some cards. They're cards that are going to go to our service members. The Outreach Committee has started this new project where we want to get as many people as we can to sign the cards that are out in the narthex to let our military members know that we're thinking about them. So please, on your way out, sign it if you haven't already. Also, in our bulletin is the Reverend Michelle's address. A lot of people have been asking about her. It's been announced that she is recently suffering from some illnesses and that people may want to send her a card and let her know that we're thinking about her. The address is in the bulletin. There's an issue with, I shouldn't say an issue. There's an anybody that has any involvement with the youth are asked to fill out clearance forms. That involves the work trip or anybody else that's involved with the youth. If you could check in with the office, find out what information you need to provide and the forms you need to fill out. If you already have a clearance, you've had that already, you just need to show the office the original clearance form and they can take care of it. You do not need to fill out the forms again. Also, I wanted to give you a heads up, the Outreach Committee. Next Sunday, they are having the Spud Bar. That was a huge success last year. Nice potatoes, you get a nice meal. That's next Sunday, right after church. But starting at 9:30, you can take it for takeout. It's the Spud Bar with all the fixings down in the basement. One more here. Hang in there with me. Is the Easter baskets. I've been mentioning this for the last couple of weeks. There's a sign-up form if you want to bring some things for the Easter baskets that will be sent out to the community. They are due back April 1st, so if you want to sign up and help fill the Easter baskets, there's a form on the easel out in the narthex. Please remember to do that. Diane Runzer has an announcement.
First of all, we have our Living Last Supper coming up April 3rd and 5th. And on the table in the narthex, I believe there are still some posters. Feel free to take them. And there are two cards. One's purple edged, and that's for the Living Last Supper. And the other one's kind of a reddish brown edge, and it says, "Celebrate Easter with us. Now, I'm going to challenge you today. Last week and the week before, I've been saying, pass them out to all your friends and neighbors. I want you to do something a little more difficult this week. Pass them out to a complete stranger. Because you never know whose life you're going to touch. Maybe they just need that touch. And maybe if they toss it down, somebody else that needs it will pick it up. So please take some of the cards and pass those out. Now, if you'll excuse me one moment. Now, my next announcement is not as serious. Can you tell? We have a fairly solemn time during Lent, and then we celebrate wondrously on Easter Sunday. Well, you know what? On Easter Sunday, God played the greatest practical joke on the devil. He raised Jesus from the dead. So we're going to celebrate that on the Sunday after Easter, that's the 15th, with Holy Humor Sunday. Now, we don't know for sure exactly what's planned. The Lord works in mysterious ways sometimes. But your part, so far, is to participate in Holy Humor Headpiece Day. Now, I don't say hat day because people don't wear hats anymore. But as you can see, headpieces can take some really wonderful examples. So I want you to put your thinking caps on and go home and find something that you can wear on your head or around your head or somewhere there that you can participate in Holy Humor Hat Day. Now, it could be antennas. It could be Indian feathers. I've even heard a rumor that there's a turkey hat. So you're going to have to come and see the turkey hat. So be thinking about it. Bring your friends Sunday after Easter, Holy Humor Sunday.
Well, thank you, Diane. That put a smile on my face. I hope there's a few other people out there smiling, too. Okay, please stand and join in the passing of the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
Well, good morning. How is everyone?
Good.
Good. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Are you going to join us?
Yes, I am.
Wow. What was yesterday? Saturday. St. Patrick's Day. Did anybody wear green?
I
did not wear green yesterday, but I wore some green today. And I want to show you what I have on. Who is on my necktie? Larry the cucumber from VeggieTales. What's this tomato guy's name? That's Bob the tomato. And what's this thing with the purple head on and the two plungers coming out the side? I don't know. Huh? Larry Boy. Oh, is that Larry Boy? And is Archibald the asparagus and Junior Asparagus? Well, you think he's green enough for St. Patrick's Day? You want me to put that on while I talk? I can start a silly hat. Well, you know, I was thinking about Larry because I remember a song from Larry. And earlier, the story that was read out of Numbers is kind of frightening. If you heard that about snakes coming and biting people and them dying, there's some yucky stuff around. But Larry the cucumber has a neat song about God being bigger than the boogeyman. Did you ever sing it? Anybody else know the song? Katrina knows that, yes. Well, it starts, it says that God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Yes, God is bigger than the boogeyman and he watches after you and me. And the tune is, then the boogeyman, he's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. Oh, God is bigger than the boogeyman and he watches out for you and me. So, when you hear scripture that talks about snakes or we read about creepy, crawly bugs, do you have any stink bugs? No? Oh, my goodness. Then, yes, they're all over the place. And if those things scare us, we need to remember the Larry song. And that indeed God is bigger than all those things that scare us. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for this day we give you thanks. We are grateful for these boys and girls, for their moms and dads and all those that care for them. We pray that you would walk with them every day, that they might live and grow within your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Hey, I've got some cups for you today. One, two, three, four. And how about some bulletins today? Thank you.
We're coming out of that time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and our concerns for individuals and situations among us. We have a rose down here this morning, and that rose is for the birth of Darren, and his proud mom and dad are Josh and Rose, so we rejoice in that. We also have a praise of another child that was born, a baby boy to Rocky and Barbara delivered. Gave birth to Logan on the 15th of March. Everyone is doing great, especially the grandparents, Tim and Lori, and they continue to covet your prayers. Also have a request here to continue to remember, pray for Dan. If you flip over on the back of our worship folder, you will see that on the back page there is a list of individuals from recently discharged personal care homes, shut-ins, others in prayer, our service personnel, and those studying abroad that we wish to remember in prayer during the week as well. Let us continue then in uniting our hearts and our spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we've been blessed with a new day. A new day to be in service to you. A new day to interact with our brothers and sisters. A new day to take the scriptures, to place them upon our hearts, and to be people of God. It is our hope and our prayer, O God, that we will be faithful to that you place before us, to the callings that you have upon our lives, to the mission and ministry that we will experience this week, to the opportunities for mission and ministry that are ahead of us. Oh God, we know that you also call us and encourage us to lift up and pray for brothers and sisters. You, O God, have heard the names of individuals on our prayer list this day. You've heard about those joys and concerns where lives have been added, where lives have been taken away. You know where there is sickness. You know where there is hatred. You know where there is hunger, physically and spiritually. You know where individuals are lost. Those that society pushes away as the least. You know where the lonely are and where the last are. You know where there is hatred, where there is oppression, where there is love, where there is joy. Oh God, in the midst of it all, we pray that we might be found. That we might be your instruments of love and grace and forgiveness. Your instruments of healing and health and wholeness. Oh God, we pray for each ministry and mission that is represented by your people this day. We also come together as your people praying for your church and its calling to the world to live and proclaim your good news. We pray for the United Methodist Church's gathering of General Conference. We pray for our annual conference gatherings and for jurisdictional conference as well. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit might be the leading force and factor in the guiding, shaping of your church. We pray for the needs around the world. We pray for government leaders. We pray for wisdom, for understanding. And especially, O God, we pray for peace. A peace that will pass our understanding, that can only come through you. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we ask and pray as we share together in the prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
We lift our eyes to God.
Loving God, you loved us so much. You gave and gave and held nothing back, not even your precious Son. We offer these humble gifts back to you, but more than these, we offer ourselves. Use us as your arms to comfort those who suffer, as your voice to speak for victims of injustice and oppression, as your feet that bring the good news of your love and grace to those who need it so. May every gift be pleasing in your sight. We pray in the name of our Rock and Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear now these words that come to us from John's Gospel, beginning in the third chapter with verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that they may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May God's richest blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of Scripture, their teaching and claim upon our lives. We pray now, O God, that you might give us rest from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and may they be acceptable to you. For you are our rock and our redeemer. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Invasive species. The Asian tiger mosquitoes, Chinese mitten crabs, Asian emerald ash borers, northern snakeheads, Mexican fruit flies, Asian reticulated pythons. That's only to name a few of the creepy crawly types, let alone the plants. All of these creatures have come in from outside the borders of the United States, invading our land, causing extensive damage to our landscape, our vegetation, and our wildlife. The Chinese mitten crab got a lift on board a ship and started eroding away our riverbanks with its excessive burrowing. Another stowaway is the Asian emerald ash borer that attacks our native ash trees. If you go up north, you'll see those purple plastic things hanging from trees with goo attached to them, smeared on them, because those ash borers love that color purple. The northern snakehead fish was brought into the United States by a man who wanted to use it for some medicinal purposes and in the end decided not to throw it, so he threw it in a Maryland pond and it began to feast on native fish in the Chesapeake Bay area. Invasive species are dangerous because they don't have any natural enemies in our own country. No native predators to control their growth, and that really stinks. Speaking of stinking, how about that latest baby, those brown stink bugs? Anybody got them? Anybody want some more? You'll give them to me free. Every morning when I get in the shower, I look up and I think there's five laying up there. And I keep thinking, well, I'm going to wait. Maybe they're drawing some more in that are up in the attic. We will see. According to the Washington Post, last August, these stink bugs took a $37 million bite out of the mid-Atlantic apples crop in 2010. They also love peaches, grapes, and other fruit, and we well know they have a habit of crawling all over the place on the walls of our homes outside, and they love to find little nooks and crannies, and you wonder just how are they getting in. They seem to be all around, and they are on the move. They have migrated from eastern Pennsylvania to now 32 states, have been spotted as far south as North Carolina. These creatures love to be warm, and their population just might explode when they get into the sunny south. Farmers try to control pests with insecticides. Researchers are looking at the possibility of introducing a non-stinging parasitic wasp to go after the stink bug eggs. But the danger is you have a pest, and so you introduce another insect to take care of that pest, and suddenly now you've got two pests. In the book of Numbers, the people of Israel are on the move, going to the promised land. And as they pass around the land of Edom, they have become impatient, and they speak against God and Moses. Why have you brought us out here in this land out of Egypt in order to die in the wilderness? There is no food. There is no water. We detest this food that we are having to eat. I don't know about you. Manna in the morning, quail in the evening, always provided. My motto is, if I didn't cook it, it tastes great. And suddenly, because of their complaining, they are invaded by a species of poisonous serpents. These creatures bite them, and thousands of Israelites die. Now, unlike, though, the pests that ruin the farmers' crops, God sends these snakes specifically directed at people. And the people are saying, but it's better for us to die in Egypt than here in the desert without food and water. And so God says, okay, I'll put you out of your misery, you faithless, gutless, whining, complaining excuse of a people. Well, they suddenly realize they've misspoke. And so they go running to Moses. We've sinned by speaking against the Lord, speaking against you. Please pray to the Lord that these serpents may be taken away from us. You see, the people of Israel need help from this deadly killer. They don't have a Department of Agriculture or an Environmental Protection Agency to turn to. Instead, they go straight to Moses, who prays on behalf of the people, and God offers Moses a solution to their problem. Make a poisonous serpent and wrap it around a pole. Still the same symbol that's on our medical profession and patches. Just look around. And anyone who looks upon that serpent on a pole after they are bitten by one of these deadly serpents, they will be healed and cured. And lo and behold, it works. Stink bugs and serpents, both are nasty, invasive species that do a lot of harm. And both can be controlled with the right amount of intervention. But when you think about it, what is the true invasive species in this story? Perhaps it's not the poisonous serpent, but instead, perhaps it's the impatience, the complaints, and the anger of the people of Israel. These are the pests that have really infested the Israelites that bring dangerous consequences, and they still continue to affect us today. Impatience. Impatience is considered by some to be a respectable sin. That is, a sin that we will tolerate within ourselves. But impatience is a sign of a bigger problem, namely our own attitude of insisting that others around us conform to our own expectations. That's what got the Israelites into trouble in the first place. They demanded that God and Moses confirm to their expectations of a quick and comfortable journey to the promised land, and that along the way they have an abundance of good food and water. But wait a minute. Aren't people of faith supposed to conform to God's expectations, not the other way around. Impatience can shift our focus away from God and toward ourselves so that we begin to believe that the world owes us a life of safety, comfort, and convenience. And that's a pest that continually can eat us up like a stink bug can attack our fruits. How about complaints? If someone were to ask you the number one sin in the world, what would you say? We'd probably go after what we consider the top three biggies: pride, lust, envy. John Roberts, a pastor in Colorado, considers a top sin to be complaining. One of the problems with the sin of complaining is that it is so universal that many of us aren't even aware that it's a sin. He says everyone complains about stuff all the time. We are surrounded by so much complaining that we hardly notice it, unless, of course, the complaints are directed at ourselves. But God is not oblivious to our complaints. God is so serious about it that God tells the church in the book of Philippians, do everything without complaining or arguing. Pastor Roberts is convinced that complaining is an expression of our pride, a sign that we think that we know better than God. And once again, the Israelites are complaining, we detest this miserable food. They're not actually starving, since God is sending them manna in the wilderness, quail in the evening, but they're just tired of it. Thinking back to Egypt, they remembered feasting upon the food of the land, fresh fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, garlic. And because of their complaining, they get a bite that they're not expecting. And finally, probably one of the most damaging invasive species, anger. All we need to do today with the political field as what it is with the upcoming election and is just to see about all of the anger and insults that are being passed back and forth. The people of Israel should honor God and respect Moses, but instead they went against divine and human leaders and accused them of leading them to their doom. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? After suffering serious casualties, they confess their sins and turn to Moses, admitting that they've sinned by speaking against Moses and God. And so they appeal for Moses to intercede on their behalf to the Almighty God. Impatience, complaints, anger, these sins are as real for us today as they were for the people of Israel then. Sin is a very real and present danger for each and every one of us. We may not talk a lot about it in today's society, but the book of Numbers never lets us forget. With a persistent honesty, Numbers confronts us with our own journeys and blemishes, and we see ourselves within the book. But the good news is, the book of Numbers also shares with us a picture of who God is. Because in it we see that harshness and we see where God is merciful. We see where God is severe and where God is gracious. God flings these killer snakes at the impatient, complaining, angry people. That's part of God's punishment of sin. But God also offers life in the midst of death. You see, God sends a means of healing and salvation by instructing Moses to make a serpent of bronze, put it upon a pole, and that's God's merciful offer of forgiveness and new life. Now, before you say, "Well, I don't like that story," remember that Jesus Christ knew this story well. And that's why he used it to describe himself in the Gospel of John, saying, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So high on the cross is the Son of Man, inviting everyone who believes in him to receive forgiveness and eternal life. You see, Jesus is our bronze serpent, our Savior, our guide and friend. And like those poor snake-bitten rebels in the wilderness, we only need to look up and we will have life. The good news for us today is that God has chosen to provide a means of salvation for us through Jesus Christ. We are forgiven when we turn to Christ and express and confess our sins, and are promised new life when we trust in him. But still, every day we must battle those invasive pests of impatience, complaints, and anger. Like stink bugs, they'll look for nooks and crannies within our daily lives and living to weasel their way in. And we need to be on guard as individuals and as a church to swat those pests when they appear. What's interesting about invasive species is they will not survive if you don't give them anything to eat. So when you're feeling impatient, take a deep breath. When you want to complain, remind yourself of an unexpected blessing. And when you feel a rush of anger, remember. Remember that everyone, even your worst enemy, is a child of God. Starve those species and let them invade somewhere else. Let's pray. Lord God, for the teachings in the scriptures this day, we are grateful. We pray that your Spirit might truly invade each and every one of us, that we might live for you every single day. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn, number 2149, "Living for Jesus."
Thank you.
Our gracious and loving God, your call and claim are upon our lives to go forth into the world, to live, to share, to be the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord, the good news of love, grace, and forgiveness. Send us forth, O God, out into the world that we might be your people. For we go in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.